Okay, Paul.
Hi.
Hi, and hi, everybody.
We're back.
We are back.
With more fan fiction.
With more Safe House. We are now skipping ahead. We're trying to find good bits for you guys, because rather than reading you all 338 pages, which is, by the way, it's very well written. It's a really good read, so... sit down and do yourself a favor. But in terms of our staged reading, we're starting now on page 72.
Yeah, please read along with us.
The little dot.
Oh.
Goes from word to word.
Yeah, syllable to syllable.
Oh, yeah. Was that Reading Rainbow? Was that LeVar Burton?
I think partially, yeah.
Might be.
All right, hit it.
Okay, do you have our timer set?
Yep.
So we don't wander. All right. We don't know what's happened in between, so we're all going to figure this out together. Another cheap hotel, another furtive check-in. Sarah once again looks after the logistics, simply climbing out of the car before he has a chance to broach the subject. And he doesn't let himself read anything into the fact that she asks for a double rather than a twin.
Wow.
Staying here will eat into what little money they have left, but he wants her to have a real night's sleep. And to be brutally honest, if it means being able to sleep with her in a real bed, he would happily have paid three times the motel's usual rate. Aw, getting tired of shacking up in a van. Shutting the door behind him, he leans against it, splaying his hands out on the smooth wood. I got you some clothes and... He feels a foolish rush of heat prickle the back of his neck and a few other things.
What did he get?
I don't know. She doesn't glance at the two plastic bags she's just dropped at the foot of the double bed. Thank you. What do you guess? Do you have a guess, Paul? What do you got her?
Like tampons?
Pregnancy tests? I don't know. Morning after pill? Thank you. If you don't want to talk, I don't. Sarah, I can't do this now, Michael. With that, she walks into the adjoining bathroom and slams the door behind her. Something has happened, folks. He stares at the closed door for a moment, the urge to go after her, itching at him like a rash, then drops.
Maybe that's what they got something for the rash.
Yeah, for the rash. Yeah. Urge rashes. Then drops onto the bed. Grabbing one of the plastic bags, he begins to assemble the other piece of equipment he'd bought that morning. But his thoughts keep straying to the woman hiding from him in the next room. I believe
this is a police scanner.
I believe it is, too.
God help him. He truly hadn't intended things to go as far as they did last night. The whole deal with the food and the blanket. All he'd wanted to do was make things easier between them, to make her feel better. What happened?
I don't know.
Some kind of food blanket disaster.
I don't know. Picnic catastrophe.
Picnic catastrophe. Did he try to put whipped cream somewhere? Like
easy.
Michael closes his eyes. The GPS logger in his hand momentarily forgotten. Yeah, right. That may have been his intention up to the moment he'd kissed her, but it'd become a lie the instant his mouth had touched hers. She'd kissed him back, holding onto him as though he was the only thing in the world she knew, and all his good intentions had been ground into dust. Okay. I think what happened is her father's dead.
Really?
Yeah. I think that there's what's really one of the really cool things about this writing is that it follows the plotting of the show, kind of. And then it kind of deepens things in, and it takes these kinds of detours into other areas. So I think what happened is that he kissed to make her feel better, and then there were some semis going down the highway, if you know what I mean.
Easy.
And maybe he got, and then she got pissed that he was inappropriate or something. Or maybe he made jokes about food and blanket.
I'm scrolling up.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not finding anything. Okay, go on. Where were you?
He stares at the device in his hands. He'd tell himself he's not sure entirely why he bought it, but that would just be another lie. His priority has always been to get his brother across the border, but somewhere along the way, perhaps from the moment he met her, his plan had started to include Dr. Sarah Tancredi. He can no longer pretend that he doesn't want her with him when this nightmare is over, and if doing this, spying on her, his conscience protests, is another way to make sure that happens to keep her safe, then he is prepared to do it. I'll tell her about it when she comes out of the bathroom, he decides, trying to appease his uneasy conscience, but it doesn't work. He paces slowly back and forth across the room, at war with himself. Is it wrong to keep her safe? Just when does the line between protection and stalking begin and end? Oh, hello. I hope you're enjoying listening to this story as much as we enjoyed telling it. If you want to hear the rest of it, please join our Patreon community. You can find that link wherever you get your podcasts. And if you join Patreon, that gives you access to the Discord community where people gather every day to discuss all things Prison Break and beyond. We'll see you there. Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul is a Caliber Studio production.
Your hosts have been inmates Sarah Wayne Callies and Paul Edelstein.
Our prison warden is producer Ben Haber.
Cutting us up in the yard are our brilliant interns Ariel, Alyssa, and Cade.
The frontman of the Jailhouse Rock Band is me, Paul Edelstein, who made the music.
All the music. Our prison yard tattoo artist, logo, and brand designer is John Nunziato at Little Big Brands. Check him out at www.littlebigbrands.com.
Follow the show on YouTube and Instagram at Prison Break Podcast or email us at ppodcast@caliberstudio.com.
Join the watch party and our Discord community through the Patreon link in the show notes wherever you're listening to right now. They're amazing.
Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul has been a Caliber Studio production. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.